Good to be together again this Sunday morning. This is the Lord's Day. Lord Jesus, we gather in your presence as we have prayed our morning prayer, as we have dedicated this day to you, offered the day to you. We beg for your grace to live the day well. As we also anticipate the prayer of Mass this morning, a little bit later this morning, as we reflected on the Mass yesterday. Lord Jesus, help us to have a good experience of Mass, to receive your grace, your presence within us, to recognize you, to believe in you, to love you, to be affected by you, to be encouraged and strengthened by you. The theme of this retreat, again, is defeating your giants one battle at a time. Or those things that hold us back from being the men we're called to be. God wants greatness from each of us, but in different ways. But greatness, not mediocrity. We said, don't be content like cows. You can be better and you should be better. It's the tension in our spiritual lives to be at peace with where we are. God still loves us right now. We're his sons. You love your children, even though you want them to be better. Not because there's like a test that they have to pass, the test of life, but because there's a potential for greatness in each of us, for goodness, and we want to realize that. What opportunities will we have in the future? What things is God preparing for us? How can we serve him well? How can we serve others? How can we make the world better? So what are the things that obstruct us, that hold us back? What are the battles we face? And what are the things we need to put into place to be great? We've been reflecting on different things through this weekend. Today, it's prayer. This morning, we're going to speak about the battle of prayer, the struggle of prayer. Again, tying this into King David, we know David was a warrior. If you read the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, the book of 1 and 2 Kings, David was the second king of Israel after Saul. David was a warrior for Saul. He killed Goliath. He led the Jewish soldiers in battle for King Saul. And then eventually, when Saul died, David became the king. And then he sent his troops out into battle. So he was a strong man. He was courageous. He was a warrior. But he was also a man of prayer. David wrote the Psalms. We forget that. The 150 Psalms in the Old Testament, David wrote them. They're ascribed to him. We don't know if he wrote all of them. Perhaps someone finished them after him, or one of his companions or peers helped write them, but they're attributed to King David. And they're 3,000 years old. These prayers are 3,000 years old. That's a long time. We live in the United States of America. It's a great country, right? How old is it? 250 years. These prayers are 3,000 years old, and we still pray them. We pray the Psalms at every Mass. You just pray the Psalms in morning prayer. Priests and religious promise to pray the Psalms 5 times a day. It's the liturgy of the hours. At different hours of the day, we stop and we pray. Why do we do that? Because that's what the Jewish people did. They prayed the Psalms 5 times a day. Maybe not all the Jews, but the priests, the religious leaders. The prayers that David wrote became the human prayers. Like, they work. There's something true about them. We respond to them. They express all the human emotions: anger, fear, hope, sadness, hurt. They're very realistic, very authentic prayers to God. No matter what we're going through, there's a psalm that will match our situation and our mood. David was inspired to write them. They expressed his emotions and moods at different times, when he was happy, when he was angry, when he was afraid, when he was penitent. That's a great image of David, a warrior and a poet, a king and a man of prayer. I always find it powerful when we have a funeral of a parishioner, a man who died, who was a veteran, who had served in the military, but also whom I knew went to Sunday Mass every week. So to see a man who's strong and a warrior kneeling down in humility before God, that's a great combination. Strength and weakness. Acknowledging our weakness begging for grace so that we can be strong, not just physically or emotionally, but morally. Avoiding sin, being good, saying no to ourselves. And David did that. He sinned, but he said, I'm sorry, and he repented, and he reformed. So David was a man of prayer. Jesus was a man of prayer, even though he's God. This is the mystery of Jesus. We'll never get over the mystery. There's always this conflict. He's God and he's man at the same time. He's God, but he has everything that humans have, a human body and a human soul, right? Whatever we have, he had, but he had a lot more. He was God, eternal God, omniscient God, knowing all things, omnipotent, all-powerful, and yet in the weakness of a human nature. But Jesus prayed. It says, you know, at nighttime, he went apart from the apostles in the dark and the quiet and prayed. Or he would get up before dawn early in the morning and go aside and pray. He would talk to God, his Father, in prayer. When he went to Jerusalem, he went to the temple like the other Jews and he prayed. He offered sacrifices. On the Sabbath, it says he went into the synagogues to pray. He would go to the synagogue in Nazareth where he grew up and he would pray. Well, I don't have to go to church on Sunday. I can pray anywhere because Jesus went to church on Sunday. Well, for him, it was Saturday. Jesus went to church. If Jesus needs to go to church and he's God, we probably need to go to church. He tried to show us the right ways to live. He didn't need to do all the things he did. He did it to show us that we need it. He went into the synagogue to pray. So he had his personal prayer at late at night, early in the morning, kind of authentic conversation with God, his Father, conversation of love. But he also had formal prayer, the sacrificial prayer in the temple in Jerusalem and the week-by-week Sabbath prayer in the synagogue. So prayer is important. It's essential to really live the human life well, but it's not easy. The apostles said, Lord, teach us how to pray. We see you praying, we're learning. Teach us how to pray. I mean, these are just working men, right? Fishermen, Peter and Andrew, James and John. We heard about the call of Matthew yesterday, Levi. He was a tax collector. He worked with money. Jesus helped them become more and more men of prayer, too. So what is prayer? It's a very basic topic, right? I was preparing this reflection, and I was having some struggles. And I said, this is kind of funny. I've been a priest for 15 years. I was in seminary 7 years before that. And yet it's not always easy to talk about prayer. There's something mystical about it. Prayer is recognizing the presence of God. Maybe very simply, we could say, prayer is recognizing the presence of God. If you want to take some notes, there'll be a few points to highlight. God sees us all the time. He sees us here. He saw us driving here. He's going to see us driving home. He'll see us tonight. He'll see us at home with our family. He'll see us when we sleep. He sees us when we go to work. He sees us when we're watching TV, when we're doing whatever we do in our free time. He sees us all the time. Prayer is us stopping and seeing him, saying, oh, hi. It's just stopping what we're doing and looking up. Someone said, stay grounded, have your feet on the ground, but keep looking up periodically, regularly. Connect what we do to God in heaven, right? Walk with him through life. So prayer is just stopping and recognizing the presence of God. And we should do that regularly. In a certain sense, prayer is friendship with God. It's just acknowledging him, but not as, it's not our boss. It's not our manager. He's our creator, which is kind of something impersonal. But beyond that, Jesus said, he's your Father. There should be some affection between you and he. It's not just a relationship of duty, but of affection, a familiar relationship, family. Jesus is God and came to earth and said, I call you my friend. I no longer call you my servant. You are my servants. You're my slaves. You're my creatures. But I want to have a deeper relationship. I want to have a friendship with you. I want to be known by you and be appreciated by you. I want you to be attracted to me. I want you to enjoy our time together. In a certain sense, Christians are the only one who can truly pray in friendship, because we're the only ones that know that God considers us his friends. Muslims don't. Largest religion on planet Earth is Christianity. Among Christians, Catholics are the biggest group by far. But Christianity, the second largest religion on planet Earth is Islam. Between the two of us, we're about 4 billion of 7 billion people. Islam believes in God, but as a creator, as a judge, very impersonal. There's no real relationship between the two. You can't call God Father. That's blasphemous. It's too familiar. It's disrespectful. You certainly don't call God your friend. He's God. You're human. You're not similar. Jesus broke all that. He said, in fact, you are. God became similar. God, the creator, became like man in a human body and soul. He linked the two. He said, I call you my friend. So prayer should be some friendship. If you're going through a tough time, you call a friend, right? Or you talk to a friend at work. Try to bring that kind of connection and relationship to your prayer. If you have friendship with your wife and you turn to each other in difficult times when you need to vent or when you're seeking advice or just consolation, try to translate that also into your prayer life with God. You can use the same language. Go to him with the same questions, the same hurts, the same hopes. St. Jose Maria Escriva, who was a Spanish priest, I know Father Larry's spoken of him, was a great teacher of prayer. He wrote to one of his young people who was seeking direction from him, you seek the company of friends who with their conversation and affection, with their friendship, make the world more bearable for you. But how is it you don't frequent daily with greater intensity the company and the conversation of the great friend who never lets you down? God. Work that friendship too, he says. It can be a friendship. It may not be right now. Prayer might be kind of perfunctory for you, very formal. You know you're supposed to do it, but it's not coming, doesn't come easy or naturally. It can. St. Alphonsus Liguori, a great Italian priest in the 1700s, said, pray and you will be saved. Don't and you won't. Pray and you will be saved. Don't and you won't. Because what is being saved? Being saved is being with God. It's just being in heaven means being with God. Sometimes we think, I got to get to heaven. It's not about getting to heaven. It's about being with God. If you're with God now and you die, you'll be with God. If you're not with God now and you die, you won't. There's no test that you have to pass. Prayer is connecting with God. It's being in communion with God. It's inviting God into your life. It's inviting the Holy Spirit into your soul. If you're doing that, it'll just continue into eternity. It is a duty too, though, right? It's a sin not to pray. What's the first commandment? I am the Lord your God. You shall not have false gods before me. That means put God first. If a day goes by, 24 hours, and you haven't talked to him once, can you really build an argument that God was first in your life that day? No, he wasn't. He wasn't even in it. He was nothing. He was zero. He wasn't even a thought. You never remembered him. You never gave him a shout. If a day goes by and you didn't say some prayer, that's a sin, right? We broke the first commandment. It happens, maybe. It shouldn't, but it is a sin. Very rarely do people come to confession and say, I skipped prayer 4 times this past week. We don't even think about it. Think about it. Check yourself. And that's why night prayer is good. Like, you might have forgotten all day, but before you go to bed, at least give God a shout out. I was in the Holy Land 3 months, in November, with parishioners. We had a very, very inspiring trip. It just makes it so realistic. Jesus is real. People say, I don't believe in God. I don't know about God, but how about Jesus? Jesus is real. We saw where he was born, where he grew up, where he worked, where he lived, where he died, where he was buried, and where he rose from the dead. But there's a lot of, obviously, Muslims in Israel, Muslim Arabs, and they have their minarets where they do the call to prayer 5 times a day. You, like, it's over a speaker. You can't miss it. Five times a day, they shout out this prayer, and Muslims stop. All Muslims, at least in Muslim countries, pray five times a day. We might be lucky if Christians pray once a day. Someone said perhaps that's why Islam seems to be growing faster than Christianity. Muslims are expected to pray five times a day. It's not extreme. It's not long prayer. It's just five times a day they turn their thoughts back to God. Of course, they got that from Christians, right? The liturgy of the hours. 5 hours a day, priests and religious promise to stop and pray. Pray the Psalms from King David. We've been doing that here on the retreat. Morning prayer, evening prayer. There's five parts. Those are two of the five parts. We should stop and pray as well. When we were in Israel and we heard the call to prayer, we would stop and pray the Angelus. Instead of fighting it, just we'll go with it. It's a good reminder. Let's pray the Angelus prayer. That's how Catholics did it. Three times a day, they would stop and pray the Angelus. They knew the priests were praying the Psalms, but it was the Liturgy of the Hours. It was in Latin. It was long. Maybe most people couldn't do that, but they would do the Angelus prayer. It was just a simple prayer that you could go to remember the presence of God. But we know prayer is a struggle. Why? In the book of Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, Paul says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Like the Holy Spirit is groaning with us as we groan, I should pray, I don't feel like praying, or I'm praying, I don't know how to pray, what do I say, or how long do I pray? It's a struggle. It's work, it's good work, it's holy work. He says, that's okay, keep groaning, but ask the Holy Spirit to help you in your weakness. Say, help me want to pray. That's a great prayer. God, I should pray, I don't feel like it. Help me feel like it. Help me want to pray. That's a great prayer. Some of the things that block us are distractions, dryness, lack of faith. Distractions, right? We sit down to pray and we're thinking about everything else. And then the time for prayer is up and I feel like I haven't thought about God, I thought about everything else. That's a real struggle in prayer for everybody. You'll find if you pray in the morning that helps because there's nothing on your mind yet. You'll find if you pray at other times a day, you're going to need a little transition time to quiet your mind. Just kind of, you'll need a few minutes just to sit and quiet your mind before you can really start praying. Dryness. I pray and I feel like nothing's happening. I don't feel the Holy Spirit. I don't feel consolation. I was on retreat and it was great. And then I come home and I'm praying and I don't feel anything. Examine the way you're praying. Maybe you're not quieting yourself down. Maybe you need something to focus your prayer. Maybe you need a formal prayer to say and then enter into quiet prayer. Sometimes God permits us to have dry times. He says, are you praying for me or for you? There's a saying, do I love the consolations of God or do I love the God of consolation? Do I love the feeling I get when I pray or do I love God? And sometimes I have a good feeling when I pray to God. That's a good check. Sometimes when you don't feel it, it's your best prayer. It's your most pure act of love for God. It's your gift. I'm giving you my time and my effort, even though I feel like I'm getting nothing in return. That's a gift, right? If it's just self-serving, is it really love, friendship? So dryness and distractions and dryness, that's something you can bring to talk to your priest about in confession. Say, Father, I have a question about prayer. Sometimes we pray and we wonder if anything is happening. Is God listening? I pray and I don't feel like it's being answered or my problems still seem to be there. Maybe this is a lack of faith, understandable lack of faith, but we got to struggle. God is real. God hears. He's going to answer in his way, not on my terms. If I prayed and I got an answer, I might not pray again until I had another need a couple weeks or months from now. Prayer is not just about getting something from God. If your children only call from college when they want something, that's sad, right? You'll give it to them, but it's sad. You wish they were your friends. You wish they would call just to say hello or to say thank you. But we treat God the same way often. So distractions, dryness, lack of faith, some of the struggles and battles of prayer. Prayer comes in a lot of different forms. We've been speaking about some of them today. Read a little passage about prayer. Prayer can either be individual or with others. We need both kinds. Prayer can be in your own words or praying in the words of another, written by another like a saint. We need both kinds. Prayer can be vocal, out loud, or silent. We need both kinds. Prayer can be active or receptive, speaking to God or listening to God. We need both kinds. There's no one way to pray. There's different ways. We've experienced a lot of different ways on this retreat. What are some types of prayer? I would say there's three basic types of prayer. When you read about prayer, you're going to read a lot of different, we're always trying to get a handle on it. I said, it is mysterious. It's hard to like categorize it, but we try for our clarity. So what are ways of praying? First, sacraments, sacramental prayer. Catholics have sacramental prayer. We're the only ones on planet Earth. It's kind of neat. It's a gift. The prayer of the Mass, right? Every day here, we've been praying Mass. That's a sacramental prayer. Who made up that prayer? Jesus. Why do we pray that way? Jesus said so, right? Our default answer. We don't even understand it necessarily. Hopefully some of our reflections this weekend have helped us grow in understanding. Keep reading about the Mass. There's so many levels of understanding. And in the Mass, we can receive Holy Communion, right? Sacramental prayer, bringing the presence of God inside. Another sacramental prayer is confession. Confession is a prayer. There's kind of a script to it. You go in with a priest, you say what you did, how often you do it. The priest absolves you, he gives you a penance, you say the act of contrition. It's a prayer. So there's sacramental prayers. There's vocal prayers. Yesterday we reflected on the rosary prayer. Father Larry reflected on the rosary, the prayer that seemed to come from God through the saints, through Saint Dominic, and a prayer that Mary has reaffirmed when she has appeared at different places at different times. Pray the rosary. There's the Liturgy of the Hours, right, which is praying the scripture, the Psalms, different times of the day. It was a prayer that priests and religious prayed and deacons, but it's becoming more accessible because you have it on your phones. If you have the full set of volumes, it's a four-volume set. That's kind of complicated. It's kind of heavy, right? What page do I turn to? On the phone, it's in your phone, and they already turn the pages for you. You don't have to figure out what pages to turn to. All of a sudden, it's becoming very accessible. And it's in English. You don't have to do all five parts. Maybe you could do one part. But it's a vocal prayer. It's out loud, or it's reading the prayers that others have written. Another good prayer is the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, which is growing in use. So sacramental prayers, vocal prayers, and mental prayer. Mental prayer is where we're quiet and we're praying to God in our thoughts, in our own words largely. Speaking to him in our own words and listening to him. And we're going to reflect on that, how to do that. Mental prayer. In the midst of these types of prayers, there are different acts of prayers. There's types of prayers, sacramental, vocal, mental, but there's acts of prayers. Like during those prayers, what are some of the attitudes we should have to God? What are some of the things we should be saying to God? And we speak of there being four acts of prayer. Some of us have heard this before, right? ACTS, acts. Adoration, contrition, thanksgiving, supplication. When you're at Mass, you could be doing all four. As you're praying the rosary, you could be doing all four. As you're praying the Liturgy of the Hours or mental prayer, you could be doing all four. Someone said they go to prayer, and when they begin their prayer, they say, Jesus, thank you. Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, help me. Thanksgiving, contrition, supplication. Thank you, help me, I'm sorry. Simple way, drawing in those acts of prayer. Jesus taught us how to pray. He taught us the Our Father prayer in Matthew chapter 6. The apostle said, Lord, teach us how to pray. He said, when you pray, you should pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In that prayer, we're learning how to pray. We're learning what we should ask for, right? Hallowed be thy name, adoration. Forgive us our trespasses, contrition. Give us this day our daily bread. Supplication, give me what I need. That prayer is teaching us how to pray. Our default is give me what I need, right? That's easy. When we're a baby, we start saying that, mom and dad, give me what I need. That's our default as humans. But that's good, but it's not enough. You're God, I adore you, I worship you. What's the proper relationship? Lord, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner, help me. Give me grace. What is mental prayer? So I want to focus on this type of prayer. Because again, since some of the other prayers come more naturally. We talked about Mass, right? We should go to Mass every Sunday, for sure. And even during the week we can go if we truly love the Mass, if we love Christ. It's a good thing for Lent. Try to go to daily Mass at least once a week for Lent. We talked about confession. Use that sacrament of confession. We've learned how to do a better examination of conscience this weekend, right? Keep going deeper in your examination. There's an art to that. We say at least maybe once a month, at least go to confession, as often as needed. You may need it every week, fine. We talked about the rosary, trying to pray the rosary, incorporate that into our personal prayer life. Mental prayer. Mental prayer, there's kind of different forms of it. Sometimes it's called meditative prayer. Sometimes it's called contemplative prayer. Meditation and contemplation could be two different kinds of mental prayer. But mental prayer is basically talking to God in your thoughts and listening to Him. Someone said, where there is much speaking, there is little listening. Sometimes we don't listen very well. I remember an older woman in one of my parishes. She said, Father, I'm really struggling with prayer. It just feels kind of stale. I feel like I'm always saying the same thing in my prayers. I said, well, what is God saying to you? She said, what do you mean? It should be conversation. We should be listening. We should be communing with God, inviting Him into our soul, not just talking at Him. I had a friend, his brother went to seminary for 5 years. He was ordained a priest. He served in a parish for 2 years. And then he left the parish and the priesthood to marry a Protestant woman. He began attending her non-denominational church. And he said he finally learned how to pray for the first time in his life. That's very sad. How can you go to seminary and be a priest and not learn how to pray? He was saying prayers, but he felt that he wasn't praying. It is possible. I remember our rector said, man, it occurs to me that we've never actually asked you if you believe in God. Have you ever faced that question? You've presumed a belief in God, but have you ever struggled with faith in God? How do I know there's a God? When times get tough, maybe I haven't been through any difficult times. When times get tough, what will I fall back on in my faith in God? How do I know there's a God? Have I experienced Him? Can I articulate it to myself, yet alone to others? Grapple with that question. And it's the same with prayer. Is it real? Or is it just talking at God? Is it just saying words? Praying helps you pray. That sounds strange, right? Praying helps, saying prayers helps you to pray, but it isn't necessarily prayer. It can lead you into prayer. Praying is speaking to God authentically. Tell Him what you think. Tell Him what you're afraid of. Tell Him what you hope for. It's listening to Him, trying to let Him into our thoughts, trying to discern what ideas is He giving us, and it's communing with Him. Right? Three aspects of good prayer: speaking to God authentically, listening to Him, and communing with Him. When you receive communion, He's inside of you. Experience it. Quiet yourself down. When you pray, invite the Holy Spirit into your thoughts and into your soul. Say, console me, encourage me, strengthen me, guide me, give me ideas. St. Joan of Arc, this young woman who was very mystical, right? She felt called by God to lead the French army. She showed up and talked to the French general. I'm here to lead your army. Can you clean the pots and the pans? No. I'm here to lead your army. God told me to. She led the army and they won. But she was eventually captured by the English. The sad thing is they were Catholic too. But it was political. She was their enemy on the battlefield. So they tried her as a witch. It'd be kind of convicting if they realized that God actually had told her to lead the French army and she beat them. What did that mean about their relationship with God? They didn't want to go there. So they tried her as a witch because she said she was hearing God speak to her. And they said, How do you know it's God? Maybe it's the devil. How do you know it's not just your thoughts? How do you know God is talking to you? How do you know it's not just your thoughts? She said, well, of course it's my thoughts. How else would God talk to me? Like, duh, he doesn't speak out loud. Hey, Joan. God speaks to us in our thoughts. Can we recognize it, though, when those thoughts are from God? That's the challenge of prayer. But you got to quiet yourself to recognize. But if you say, God, I have 10 minutes. I'm sitting down. I'm trying to listen to you. And then thoughts come to you. To a certain degree, trust that they're from God. Like, you gave him permission to give you thoughts, and then you had thoughts. Trust that they're from God. You can usually tell if it's just distraction, right? I'm thinking about the football game I'm going to watch tonight, or the dinner my wife is cooking, or the meeting I have next. But even if those thoughts come up, well, maybe I'm going to thank my wife for the food, or maybe I'm going to have to do a little intervention at the meeting. And sometimes, like, if you're praying and you think of a friend that you haven't spoken to, maybe God is saying, yeah, I'm reminding you to speak to your friend. If you're praying and you remember there's something you need to do that you haven't done, that could be God speaking to you. Sometimes he convicts you of sin. Sometimes he reminds you of something to do. Sometimes he just encourages you. Nothing happened in prayer. Did you rest? Did you get? Yeah. Well, that's what happened. God just wanted you to rest today. Rest your thoughts. Chill out. God speaks to us in our thoughts. That's how it works. I think sometimes as Catholics, we're not comfortable talking to God in our own words. We're very good at kind of praying, saying the prayers, right? And we need vocal prayer. We need formal prayer. Let us pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou amongst women. Okay, but why were you asking Mary to help you? What are you asking her to help you with? Pray for us sinners. Then continue the prayer. Don't end it there. Say, yes, Mary, pray for us men on our weekend retreat that we'll hear your son, that we'll know your son better. Like, take that formal prayer and then move from that into more of an informal prayer. Both. Do both. There was, you know, Protestant Christians are maybe more comfortable praying in their own words. They kind of are afraid of those formal prayers, those vocal prayers. They don't know what to make of those formal prayers. We have a mission trip every year, which men on our parish go to, and it's a very good time for Catholic Christians and Protestant Christians to come together, and we go and rebuild homes in areas that have been hit by storms. And actually, it's the Protestant groups that have kind of initiated this, and we go along with them. And it's a good week together. But I've realized after a few times doing this, they say, oh, we don't pray, we just pray informally. We're not into those formal prayers. But their prayer also is actually very formulaic. Okay, it's lunchtime. We'll all be sitting at our tables and saying, let's say grace. Okay, everyone has to get up, walk to the center of the room, stand in a circle, hold hands, and then they say, Lord Jesus, I just thank you for this food. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for this. I'm like, why does every time we have to pray, it always has to start, Lord Jesus, I just, right? It's at a funeral. Lord Jesus, we just pray for our brother who's died. I'm not ridiculing them. The point is, there's a formula to it. As humans, we're kind of formulaic, right? We are. That's not bad, but then move from that formula, whether it's the rosary or the Divine Mercy Chaplet, those are formulas that God taught us. Or if it's a prayer that a saint wrote, those are formulas that God inspired, but then move from that into your own formula. What is your word? What is your thoughts? Right? Both, vocal and mental together. Let the vocal prayer lead into the mental prayer. Just talk to God like you would talk to your wife or you would talk to your friend. But you can talk to God in a way you don't talk to anyone else. You can tell him what you're really thinking or what you're really struggling with, those dark sins that you don't tell anyone else about except in confession. Or those fears. You're not going to tell your wife what you're afraid of. I'm afraid of losing my job, or I'm afraid that I'm not measuring up. But you can tell God that. Or your hopes or dreams, which may sound silly to others, and you don't want to tell them because you may not accomplish it, and then you'll feel like a failure, but you can tell God. God, this is what I would really like. I don't know if this is realistic. I don't know if I can, but this is what I would really like. Are you giving me this desire? If you're giving it to me, you'll help me to do it. So mental prayer, it's very satisfying prayer because it's so real, it's so authentic. We think about the friends of Jesus, Martha and Mary. Remember, Jesus used to come, when he was going to Jerusalem, he would stop outside and visit Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus. Like, he had different houses were his centers. For 33 years, it was his home in Nazareth. Then for 3 years, it was Peter's home in Capernaum by the Sea of Galilee. That was kind of his base. But when he went to Jerusalem, he would stop at the home of Martha and Mary. And the one time, remember, it says that Martha was busy preparing a meal. Now, if Jesus came, who came with him? His 12 friends. It wasn't just him. 13 guys just showed up. And are guys that good at RSVPing? No. He probably didn't even call ahead. They just show up. And so Martha has a lot of work to do to get a meal ready. This is no joke. But Mary stayed in the living room and just sat at his feet and listened. And Martha said, Jesus, tell Mary to help me. And Jesus said, well, Martha, Mary's chosen the better part. This might even have been the time he was going to Jerusalem for the last time, and he knew he was going to die. And he's like, don't worry about the lunch. We'll pull something together. But just, you don't know this, but this is our last time talking. Mary sat at his feet and listened. That's mental prayer. Considering Jesus, considering what he said, letting him into our thoughts. Just affection. If you sit with your wife, you're not always talking. You're just sitting in the same room. You're reading, she's reading. But you're together. There's a communion there, right? There's a connection. You can come in the chapel and just sit here and just look at him, and he looks at you through the tabernacle, and then walk out in adoration. I came in, I sat, and I left. What happened? Not much. But it was great. He's real. He sees me. He knows me. I want to suggest to you a plan of daily prayer. Some of us, you have them. Some of us don't have a plan. Make a plan. Be structured and intentional in our prayer life and our conversation with God. Lent's a great time to reboot our prayer life. This retreat has rebooted it, inspired us. We should have a plan. I say pray 3 times a day, at least. Muslims pray 5 times. Like, I'm not being unreasonable here. We are better than Muslims, okay? Come on. Catholics are better. We're supposed to be better prayers because Jesus taught us how to pray. At least 3 times a day. How often do you eat? Typically, 3 times a day. I hope you don't tell me 5 or 6 times. 3 times a day, typically, our body is hungry. 3 times a day, our soul is hungry, whether we know it or not. So Sunday Mass, of course, confession regularly. Father Larry encouraged us, and the church encourages us, the rosary daily, ideally, if not the whole rosary, maybe a decade of the rosary a day. Pray with Mary every day in some form. But also 3 times a day, and these don't have to be long. Start the day with God, end the day with God, and somewhere in the middle, pause. Kind of makes sense, right? Live with God. Walk with God now into eternity. It'll make your life so much better and so much more dramatic and exciting. God's plan will unfold. So start the day with a morning offering. What's a morning offering? Just offer the day to God. In my typical morning offering, I wake up, I kiss the floor, I said, Lord, I serve you, serve him. I serve you. Give me the grace to serve you well. Mary, pray for me. That's it. That's not complicated. But your first thought of the day is God. I live today for you. Help me to live it well. Whatever my duties and opportunities are, Mary, pray for me. Your guardian, you could call upon your patron saint. Saint Michael, pray for me. But intentionally, today I live for you, God. Help me to live it well. If you go to daily Mass in the morning, that's a morning offering. That's the best morning offering. Jesus, I offer my, God the Father, I offer my day to you with Jesus, your Son, in the Mass. So a little morning offering. At the end of the day, at nighttime, sometime in the evening or before bed, examine the day. How did it go? How did it go? 3 things to consider. 1, what are the good things that happened today? Tell God thank you, prayer of thanksgiving. And you know what? Sometimes good things happen and then you got to move on to the next thing. You never really savor it. You don't get to really enjoy it. But at night when you look back, you can enjoy it a second time. It actually becomes a part of the prayer that you look forward to. What are the good things that happened today? Might have been a good meal, a conversation with a friend, maybe had a good run, it was sunny outside. It was a good retreat day. What are the good things to thank God for? What are the sins you committed today or times you weren't generous? Tell him you're sorry. I missed an opportunity here. I was selfish there. And then three, who are people you met today that you should pray for? Sometimes we tell people we're going to pray for them and we never do. We forget. At the end of each day, even if they didn't ask you to pray, who are the people I met today that need prayer and pray for them? So thank God, tell them you're sorry, pray for needs. Examine the day. It doesn't need to take long, but you're learning the lessons of the day. You're reminding the things that you experienced, the good and the bad. You see God working, the people he introduced you to, whose paths you crossed. So a little examination of the day, and then maybe a period of quiet, just inviting the Holy Spirit into your soul, calm your passions as you enter into the night, and a little bit of formal prayer, vocal prayer. Might be an act of contrition, might be an Our Father, might be three Hail Marys. If you haven't prayed the rosary, you might pray a decade of the rosary at that time. Little morning offering, little examination at night, and then sometime in the middle of the day, pause with God. And this would be a little more substantial time of prayer. I would say 10 minutes. You could do more. Some of us are in the habit of doing more, but I would say at least 10 minutes of mental prayer where you're speaking to God quietly. And one great way to do this, I mean, you could come into a chapel and just look at the tabernacle for 10 minutes and talk to him, tell him what's on your mind. But a really good way to do this, because most of us don't have access to the chapel, is Lectio Divina. Some of you have heard of this. It means holy reading, divine reading, Lectio Divina. We don't pray enough as Catholics with the scripture. We appreciate the Bible. We cherish it. We pray it at Mass. But we don't pray with it enough individually. That's a fair critique of us. Take the gospel passage of the day. This is my explanation of Lectio Divina. There are whole books written on it. It's intimidating, right? A real simple explanation, one way to do it. Take the gospel passage of the day. The church has already picked a gospel for every day of the year, the gospel we use at Mass. Whether you go to Mass or not, take the gospel passage from that day. It's usually about a paragraph long, one or two paragraphs. Read it once, slowly, to get the gist of the story, the main message. Then read it again and look for a word or phrase that sticks out. Trust that God will point you to a word or phrase. He's now, you're giving him permission to speak to you. You're saying, God, Jesus, you have 10 minutes. You're on the clock. I got 10 minutes. Tell me what you want to say in 10 minutes. It's up to you if you tell me. If you don't tell me, that's fine. But you got 10 minutes. I'm going to try to listen. I'm going to try to be quiet. And how do people usually speak to us? In words. That's usually how we communicate. Well, we actually have the words of Jesus in the gospel. They're actually literally his words. All the scripture is inspired by God, but the gospel are actually the recorded words of Jesus. And so, Jesus, what word or phrase in here do you want to use to speak to me? And then sit with that word or phrase for a few minutes. What does it mean? And talk to Jesus about it. This interior conversation. And then after you've used up that word or phrase for a few minutes, maybe it's going dry, look for another word or phrase. And before you know it, the 10 minutes are up. You might want to stay for 15 minutes. You may be getting into a deep conversation, a communion with God. But 10 minutes. If each of us do it with the same paragraph, we're all going to have a very different reflection. It's not about the point of the message, right? It's not about the big meaning of that Jesus is communicating. It's about letting those words speak to you individually to start a conversation with God. If you just try to sit down and have a conversation with God, we'll get distracted. It's very easy to be distracted. But the words of the gospel passage focus us. And when we get distracted, you pull back to the words. You get distracted, you pull back to the words. You might just use one word for 10 minutes, or you might look at a few different words or passages. Almost every gospel starts out, Jesus said to his disciples. And then you'll have the gospel. Sometimes I say, God came to earth and spoke to us. Like, Jesus was God and Jesus said. I believe that Jesus is God, and I value what he said. 2 billion people believe Jesus was God. They read what he said. 5 billion people on earth don't. Jesus, thank you for giving me faith in you, that I recognize that you're a God, and that you speak to me, like that you connect with me, that I'm not alone, that I don't have to figure out life all by myself, that all these pressures that I have, you want to lift them. If you want it to happen, it'll happen if I let you into my life. And if it doesn't happen, it means you didn't want it to happen, and that's okay. Because you speak to us, because we have access, we can connect with you in prayer, because you said, Jesus said. I might never get past the first two words of the passage. Jesus said, that might be where God is speaking to me that day. Does that make sense? Right? And for each of us, it's going to be a different word or phrase that God is going to use that day. But if you learn how to do this, most of us want to connect with God, we just don't know how. Is it even possible? Once you start to do this, you're like, I've learned how to do it. It's actually happened for the first time in my life. I don't just believe in God, but I hear God, and I know how to hear God, and I know how to discern his voice and receive guidance from it. It's actually happening. That's an exciting moment that will carry you through the rest of your life and into eternity. We believe in God, we try to serve God, we try to connect with him, but many of us don't know how to. Lectio Divina will teach you how to. It takes some time to get into it, to figure it out. Be patient. That's why Lent's a good time. You got 40 days. By the end of Lent, you will love it. It's so easy. You don't have to be creative. The gospel passage is already chosen, 10 minutes a day. You might do that 10 minutes in the morning with your morning offer. You might do it at lunchtime at your desk. You might do it as part of your night prayer. You might do it in your car in the parking lot before you leave work, or in your driveway before you get out of the car and go into your house. Some of you have a quiet place in the house, some of you don't. You have to find a spot that you can do it. Morning is good because our mind is free, but often mornings are rushed. Start the day with God, end the day with God, somewhere in the middle. Pause and speak to God. There's a great plan of prayer. But make it personal, make it real, make it authentic. So my brothers, the battle of prayer, it is a battle, but it's a good struggle. And once we learn how to do it well, it refreshes and encourages us. But prayer, ultimately, just do it. Amen. Lord Jesus, we believe in you. Jesus, we believe in you, deepen our belief. Jesus, we love you, deepen our love. Jesus, we trust you, deepen our trust. Help us to know you better, Lord, to have friendship for you. Affection for you. Deepen our desire to pray, to connect with you each day in conversation. Help us to discern your voice in our thoughts, to trust you, to follow you into the future, not to be afraid, to overcome the obstacles of prayer. All for your glory, Lord, as we pray. Glory be to the Father. And to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.